So before we begin, so let me ask you a simple question. Usually I give you a question just starting, beginning of the sermon. So can you remember a time when someone noticed that you were struggling and helped you when you least expected it? How did that make you feel? So let me say my story first. So it was Christmas season, 2007. I was living in Australia on a working holiday visa holder, spending my days as a kitchen hand at a local restaurant in Sydney. On Christmas Eve, which also happened to be my birthday, a young man from my church, Korean church in Auckland, invited me to his home. And actually, I didn't know why he called me to his home, but he invited me, so I said yes. And he cooked a meal just for me. And we spent the evening playing PlayStation. So you have PlayStation, George?
Yeah.
So which game you like to play? Okay. All right. So how about Ivan?
It's a story somewhere. It's Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Yeah. Wow. So you like to kill someone? How about Kai?
Yeah. Same thing. Call of Duty.
Okay. So your company to kill the people. All right. So at the time, I was a big fan of pro evolution soccer. I'm a big fan of soccer, so now I'm really happy because this is World Cup seasons. And I heard from Phil, today Australia beat the Turkey, right? Australia won?
Oh, I did that.
Yeah.
Did they won?
They had 2-0 over there.
2-0, wow.
5 minutes to go, but
yeah. Okay.
Never ring the bell until it's over.
Okay.
2-0.
2-0, wow, that's great. Yes. I was a big fan, so at the time I played with him PlayStation and talking late into the night. And the next morning, it's Christmas Day, my birthday, he served me seaweed soup. In Korean tradition, yeah, seaweed soup. So have you ever ate this one, seaweed soup? How about sugar? No, I think you did in the fish market in Busan.
No?
Really? Why I just ate this sweet soup? Why you didn't? Anyway, yeah. So in Korean tradition, seaweed soup is what you eat on your birthday. So it's a small but deeply meaningful gesture to me. His seaweed soup was just a $5 instant packet from the supermarket. But honestly, it meant more to me than any elaborate meal could have. At the time, I was far from home and life felt lonely and hard at the time. But his simple, thoughtful kindness made me feel seen and cared for. I will never forget it. So, what's your story? So, Edwin, so you have a story like this?
It was a long time ago, but it's a very sad story.
Sad story?
We all need tissue.
Where's the tissue?
Actually, it's probably similar to the one you have. Yeah, where I was in 1980. I went to see my father, but it's too far away from us. So I have happened to be in this town that there's only one trip to go give into my father. But I missed the last trip. So I was just, and there's no hotel, I've got no money, I don't know anyone there. But somehow these brothers, they saw me in a frantic mood of asking for someone, if we can, I can have a ride, but no one's offering anyone. So actually, they offered me to come to their house.
Wow.
They offered me meal. They offered me bed to sleep in.
Mm.
And then in the morning, off I went. But my, it felt like that, yeah, I've got nowhere to go.
Mm.
And someone get there.
Oh, wow.
But my regret now is I haven't gone back to even thank them after this day.
Mm. Wow, thank you for your story. Yeah, that's great. All right. So, Chona, so do you have a story like this? No? Okay. George, you like this? No? Okay, how about Jackie? No. Okay, so Phil, yeah, you have one.
I'm exactly the opposite. I've always had food, and never missed out on anything.
Mm.
So I'm thankful, thanks to God for being the saviors.
Mm.
Very, very fortunate.
All right, yeah. Thank you for telling this. And also, Pam. No? You don't have it? Okay. So how about Lori?
I was trying to remember, but I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember any story about that. I'm sure it happened to me once, but I just couldn't remember a particular story that someone... Actually, it's not really like that, but you know, I was, when I was still studying back in uni, I was, you know, I remembered I was probably in deep thought, walking on the road from, because our buildings, they're all separated. Sometimes you have to walk, you have to take a ride to just get into your residence or the gate.
Mm.
It's a big campus. And I was just walking and in deep thought about, I don't know. And one of my professors was walking towards me, like we crossed path on the street. And she just asked me, you know, are you all right? It's like, you know, you seem to be, you know, not looking good. And of course I lied.
Mm.
Said, yeah, I'm all right. But really I wasn't.
Mm.
So, but you know, knowing that someone noticed something and ask you about how you are, I think it means a lot. That that person or that professor was a caring person.
Mm. Okay. Thank you for sharing this. So I just think most of us have some same experience, but just couldn't remember that. So yeah, so most of us can remember what couldn't remember a person who saw our pain, listened to our worries, was simply stood beside us when life was difficult. Sometimes the greatest gift is not money or advice, but knowing that someone genuinely cares. Today's gospel passage teaches us that Jesus is exactly the kind of person. Matthew tells us that Jesus went through towns and villages, teaching, preaching, and healing. Then comes a beautiful verse. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus did not merely see a crowd. He saw people. He saw their fears. He saw their burdens. He saw their loneliness. He saw their spiritual hunger. And his heart was moved with compassion. The word compassion here is much stronger than simple sympathy. Sympathy says, I feel sorry for you. And this is good manner, it's good. But compassion says, I see your pain. And I want to do something about it. That is exactly what Jesus does. notice that Jesus' ministry is holistic. He teaches the truth, proclaims the kingdom of God, and heals the sick. He cares for both the soul and the body. He cares for both spiritual needs and everyday struggles. Sometimes, Christians fall into two extremes. One extreme focuses only on spiritual matters and ignores people's practical needs. And the other focuses only on social concerns and forgets the gospel. Jesus does neither. He brings truth and healing together. He preaches and he serves. He speaks and he acts. His compassion is visible. Our world today desperately needs this kind of compassion. Many people around us are carrying burden we know nothing about. A neighbor may be struggling with loneliness. A student may be battling anxiety. A parent may be overwhelmed with responsibilities. An elderly person may feel forgotten. A church member may be smiling on Sunday while carrying deep pain during the week. From the outside, everything may look fine, but inside they may feel exactly as Jesus described, harassed and helpless. The challenge of this passage is simple. Do we see people the way Jesus sees them? Often we are busy. We rush from one appointment to another. We become absorbed in our own concerns. But Jesus teaches us to stop and notice. Compassion begins with seeing. Before Jesus healed anyone, he first saw them. Before he sent the disciples, he first saw the need. And when he saw the need, he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." In other words, there are many people who need God's love, but not enough people willing to serve. Then Jesus tells the disciples to pray for workers. But something interesting happens. After telling them to pray, he sends them, the 12 disciples. The disciples become the answer to their own prayer. How often do we pray, "Lord, help someone," while God is saying, "Perhaps I'm sending you"? Maybe the lonely person needs your phone call. Maybe the discouraged person needs your encouragement. Maybe the newcomer needs your welcome. Maybe the hurting person needs your prayer. God often answers prayers by sending ordinary people. The 12 disciples were not famous scholars or powerful leaders. They were ordinary men. Yet Jesus entrusted them with an extraordinary mission. Why? Because God's work has never depended on extraordinary people. It depends on ordinary people who are willing to follow in extraordinary God. The same invitation comes to us today. Jesus calls his church to continue his ministry of restoration. We may not heal the same way Jesus did. I want, but I can't. But we can bring healing through kindness. We can bring hope through encouragement. We can bring comfort through prayer. We can bring acceptance to those who feel excluded. We can bring the love of Christ into homes, workplaces, schools, and neighborhoods. Well, timing. The world does not only need more information about Jesus. The world needs more people who reflect the compassion of Jesus. As followers of Christ, we are called to be His hands and feet. The question is not whether there is work to do. The harvest is still plentiful. The question is whether we are willing to see what Jesus sees and respond as Jesus responded. May God open our eyes to the people around us. May He soften our hearts with His compassion. And may He send us into the lives of others as instrument of His healing, hope, and restoration. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for seeing us with compassion when we were lost and burdened. Open our eyes to the needs of those around us. Give us hearts that care, hands that serve, and faith that obeys your call. Help us to become workers in your harvest and instruments of your healing and love. Use our lives to bring hope, comfort, and restoration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.